And this is the KTO Newsroom. I'm Yvonne Crumry. On Friday, the Alaska Senate passed a bill that would recognize the state's 229 federally recognized tribes. If Governor Mike Dunleavy signs the bill, the state would recognize Alaska's tribes the same way the federal government does, as sovereign nations. Bethel Democratic Representative Tiffany Zolkuski introduced the bill. It passed in the House, but it sat in the Senate State Affairs Committee since February. In the meantime, a ballot initiative was started by Alaskans concerned about a lack of formal state recognition of the tribes of Alaska. City and Borough of Juneau City Assembly member Wasal Gidak Barbara Blake was one of the three co-chairs of the ballot initiative, which aims to do the same thing as the bill.
The reason that it meant so much to all of us was to tell Alaskans and to tell all of our people that yes, the state does, in fact, care about our tribes, the original sovereigns of this place, recognizes our sophisticated form of government that we've always held.
Blake says the bill may put an end to legal battles between the state of Alaska and tribes. There have been multiple legal and jurisdictional questions between tribes and the state that have led to costly lawsuits.
And also sends a message to the world that they would like to have a better working relationship with our Native people and our Native entities, and grow that so that we can do a better job taking care of every citizen of Alaska.
Because of a Senate amendment, the bill goes back to the House for consideration. It's expected to pass because the House approved the legislation last year. If this bill does not pass before the end of the session on May 19th, then it will go to voters in the form of a ballot measure. If it does pass, that ballot measure will be canceled. In regional news, Skagway is moving ahead with a public vote later this summer to determine whether the nonprofit Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium will purchase its community-run medical clinic and property. But confusion remains about the process. KHNS's Mike Sweezy reports.
During their May 5th meeting, Skagway's Borough Assembly voted 5-1 to bring a public referendum on whether or not to sell its municipally run clinic to Search. The nonprofit Regional Healthcare Consortium operates about 20 clinics in towns and villages throughout Southeast Alaska. The idea of selling the clinic was first introduced almost a year ago by the borough manager, whose office helps manage the Dahl Memorial Clinic, along with a 9-person volunteer board of directors and clinic staff. Assemblymember Reba Hilton, a proponent of a deal with Search, told KHNS that she voted for the special ballot because the decision to bring an outside healthcare facility to Skagway is too important for the assembly to make without community input.
This is something that the residents of Skagway need to weigh in on, and every voice should be heard.
Assemblymember Jay Burnham cast the only no vote. He told KHNS that his vote wasn't intended to deny the public a referendum. Instead, it was a protest about how long the process has taken. He says the delay has caused problems for day-to-day operations, like hiring new staff.
It doesn't give prospective employees a good feeling when you say, well, you might not be working for us in 3 months.
Burnham says the vote should have happened at the beginning of the process. Meanwhile, some community members expressed frustration that the wording of the ordinance brought to the assembly was confusing. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says that's because the author of the ordinance needed to follow municipal regulations.
The language is a little bit difficult to interpret because we're trying to satisfy the requirements of code. So code requires that the manager negotiate. So that has to be in the resolution. Code also requires that selling property requires that there be market valuation for the building and for the land.
The market valuation of the land and building will be completed by an appraiser prior to the public vote. That dollar amount will be available to the community through public postings, but will not be written on the ballot itself. The vote will direct the borough manager on whether or not to begin final negotiations with Search. Cremata says there is more value to the deal than just the land and the building.
There's also equipment and other various assets that may need to be included in the price. So what the voters are going to vote on is that appraisal price. And what the resolution states is that that will be the minimum amount. So then the manager will be able to go into negotiations with Search for the additional equipment and assets.
If the ballot measure is approved by Skagway voters, the manager will negotiate the final sale price, then bring that deal back in front of the assembly for final approval.
If the assembly is not satisfied with that, or there's, you know, a large public outcry or whatever, then they can deal with that issue when that comes before them.
If the ballot measure fails, no further negotiations will be held with Surge. According to Skagway officials, the Dahl Memorial Clinic's operating budget is expected to be nearly $4 million in 2022. The funding breaks down to about $2 million worth of federal grants, nearly $1 million from revenue generated by the clinic, and close to another $1 million in funding from municipal coffers. Mayor Cremata expects the appraisal to be done this month and the special election to be held in July. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
Now that last winter's heavy snowpack is finally melting away, wildlife biologists in the Eastern Interior are getting a better idea of how many moose and bison starved to death because of the lack of forage. Meanwhile, several area residents are trying to get rid of carcasses of winter kills that until now have been covered up by the snow. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Katie Behrens says a few weeks ago she noticed the cow moose that had been hanging around her house near Delta Junction since early last winter was getting weaker as it scrounged around her yard every day for something to eat because its usual forage was buried under several feet of snow and ice.
She was trying to eat shrubs and stuff that she could reach. It was very thin. She couldn't walk. She was so weak the last week before she died. She couldn't get up.
Behrens says a couple of weeks ago she covered the carcass with a tarp and a couple of feet of snow. But last week she got the first whiff of the decaying animal, so she got a friend with a piece of heavy equipment called a front end loader to scoop up the carcass and bury it out in the woods.
Luckily, he moved it before it started to smell too bad. It was just starting to get ripe.
Delta Area State Fish and Game wildlife biologist Clint Cooper says it's a problem that several locals have had to deal with this spring.
Around town here, we had a lot of cases of dead moose earlier in the wintertime, and some of those moose now are showing up as the snow melts.
Cooper says he and other biologists are trying to figure out how much of the area's moose population died over the winter. He says it appears that more cows and calves than usual didn't make it, so the agency canceled a recent antlerless moose hunt in Game Management Unit 20D. But he doesn't think the winter kills will affect this fall's hunting season.
Definitely, we had some higher than normal mortality from what we've seen so far, but it doesn't appear to be that bad.
Cooper says the local bison population, on the other hand, definitely took a big hit.
We have documented 60 bison mortalities over the winter that we're aware of, and that's certainly way, way, way above average.
That's about a fifth of the 300-head Delta bison herd. Cooper says most of those that died were calves, along with a few yearlings. And he says more than a dozen were killed when they were hit by vehicles because the animals were using roads in lieu of their usual trails, which were covered by deep snow and ice. But he says the herd is overall in good shape, so the fall bison hunt is still a go.
We had a healthy population of bison, still have a healthy population of bison.
Cooper says now that the snow is melting, the bison are ranging back to their summer calving areas to the south, off to the west of Black Rapids.
They're definitely on the move. I did a flight last week, and about half the bison observed were present on their calving ground, which is down along the Delta River.
Cooper said Wednesday he's still getting reports of dead bison and moose around the Delta area. He says there's not much he can do but advise residents to remove the carcasses and bury them somewhere far from human inhabited areas, including trails, because he says all that protein is going to attract bears and other scavengers. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
And in other news, Alaska coal miner and philanthropist Joseph E. Usabelli has died. According to a statement from Usabelli Coal Mine, Usabelli died May 12th in Arizona following a long illness. He was 83 years old. Usabelli is credited with modernizing the mining operation and implementing a land reclamation program. As for the weather, it's 48 degrees and raining. Rare thunderstorms are possible tonight with 15-mile-an-hour winds. The low tonight is 40 degrees. More showers are expected on and off through Tuesday, but the rest of the week may be drier, possibly even sunny. Sunset is at 9:21 p.m. tonight. We're now getting nearly 17 hours of daylight each day. And we no longer get true nighttime in Juneau and won't again until mid-August. This is also the last week of astronomical twilight, which is the first stage of dawn and the last stage of dusk. Though, to most, it's not distinguishable from nighttime. Last night was a full moon, the flower moon. For more news, visit ktoo.org. I'm Yvonne Crumry.